It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Kicking off your 1 o'clock hour, Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live here at Tim Daly Mazda, 10785 South Audemars Drive. You come down here, we'll hook you up with all kinds of goodies. I'd give some candy to Lloyd, but he's got the beat us, so we can't do that. But we got all kinds of other gear ready to go for you.
Plenty of it.
Got Jazz shirts, hats, all kinds of
and if you are dealing with that, we do have a veggie tray.
We do have the veggie tray, yes.
Save me some of that.
The veggie tray is looking good. It's got some ranch dip, got celery sticks, carrot sticks, got some broccoli bushes, and you've got some cauliflower.
Because when people think of this show, they think of a veggie tray.
Health and good choices.
We're the ones that were handing out ice cream to Kurt Heelan in 20-degree weather before the All-Star game. Kurt Heelan joins us now from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
Hello, Kurt.
Hear me? Well, I don't know.
There we go. Now we got you.
There we go. Okay. I was just saying, I think I need to work in more veggie trays in my life. So.
Could you imagine having Fat Boy access every day? Like those ice cream sandwiches staring you down every single day.
See, yeah, that probably wouldn't go well for me. It's bad enough just having carbs around the house, let alone adding like pure...
When we got acquired by Bonneville, a company we work for now, we walk into studio and they have this chest freezer that is filled with these ice cream sandwiches. And they said, by the way, it never runs empty. And Hans and I go, just wait.
We'll challenge you.
You challenge accepted.
Scotty and I have emptied it 3 times. It does refill within a week or two, but we have emptied it. We've actually taken the last sandwich out of it a couple times. So we did put it to the test, and Kurt, you helped us out one day.
Yeah, so, I do what I can.
So, Kurt, there's a lot to get to. First off, let's talk about Paul George. The initial prognosis is a sprained knee, out 2 to 3 weeks before it'll be reevaluated. But boy, it sure looked a lot worse than that.
Yeah, obviously this is the gosh. We hope he's back for the playoffs. timeline. I was with you. He not only last night, I mean, not only did he have, he couldn't put weight on it walking off the court, but he was being carted out to his car, like with his leg extended. It didn't look good last night in the building. And this is as good an outcome as you, I'm assuming they're not lying to us. This is good an outcome as you could hope for, because in theory, then he would be back for the playoffs, especially if they can hold on to a top 6 seed. So you get that last game on April 9th, but then you don't play again basically for a week till the 15th or 16th, depending on the schedule. They were going to need every bit of that time, I would think, to get him anywhere close, wouldn't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
The level of hyperextension on that,
yeah,
I would put a lot of Skittles on the fact that he's not going to be back for any postseason play. That was a severe hyperextension.
Yeah, it looked a lot worse. And like you said, this may be the positive outcome, and he may try to play, they might try to get him back, but it's going to be tough. And then that gets back.
Looks like we lost you there, Kurt. You still there? All right, we'll see if we can get him reconnected there. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. But Hans is our resident physician and host of Doc Talk.
Come on, man. I'm not a doctor, but I do play one for an hour or so on air every month.
My guy knows the injuries.
Yeah, this was as bad as it comes. As far as hyperextensions are concerned, he looked like a flamingo's leg. It bent the wrong direction. He was coming down off a rebound, and we got some of the details of it in the ugly, I think, for today. But those knee hyperextension, when your knee goes the wrong way, it damages so many things, ligaments, and muscles, and it can damage the cartilage if you really hyperextend bad enough. It just, the way that thing hyperextended made me think he doesn't have a chance of coming back. So, Kurt, if Paul George doesn't come back from this injury, are the Clippers pretty much washed up and done at that point?
Yeah, I mean, their whole system is built around two wings with the right complementary players around them, and they'll still have Kawhi Leonard. They will still have, again, that host, they can play bigger, they can play smaller. They've got some shooting, they've got some secondary shot creation and stuff, but they don't have, it's based around, the idea is that those two guys were going to drive the offense most nights, and I guess, they've got Russell. I got Russell Westbrook, but I mean, is that what you're leaning on?
You could pretty much just stop right there with they've got Russell Westbrook, and I think your answer right there.
In a West where I don't think there's going to be any easy series, and they're, if it were today, they'd be in the 4-5 with Phoenix, and Kevin Durant. That's a bad matchup on a good day, and without George, without him, George, a two-way player, by the way. That's the other thing they need him. He can defend too. Like that's part of how they're built. So. Yeah, it's a bad sign. Even if he's slowed, even if he's comes back with a brace on and neoprene or whatever, and he's at 75% of himself, that's not going to be good enough.
So, Kurt, when you look at this Jazz team, and we, obviously before the season started, we were prepping for a tank, and it never happened. And then Danny Ainge guts the roster at trade deadline, and yet, even without a spell of no Clarkson, no Sexton, and last game no Lauri Markkanen, this team still beats Boston and the Sacramento Kings in back-to-back nights. Now they get a game that they probably should win against Portland coming up tonight, and we're looking at this lineup, and the Jazz now are at 35 wins. They've got Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Minnesota above them with 36, Golden State at 37, the Clippers now without Paul George at 38. Honestly, we don't know what to think about this team. We're all prepping for the lottery, but now it appears like there's a good chance this team could be in the playoffs in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure it's a lottery or a pure lottery team. I mean, the making the play-in seems very possible, the likely. The team, like you said, the Lakers are behind them. Obviously, they want to get in, but we'll be polite and just say up and down. Portland is a mess, and they are capable of winning any one particular game because Damian Lillard is still playing out of his mind. He's just had this phenomenal season. There's everything around him has not worked this year the way they'd hoped, both due to injury and just. They weren't that good to begin with. I don't think they were as good as they thought they were internally. So they're getting close to, I think you can break their spirit. Let me put it that way. If you can get a lead on them, they're close to shutting Lillard down. They're just realizing this isn't going to happen for them this year. And their spirit's a little bit broken, which is what, frankly, in Utah's case, that's a good time to catch a team.
Help me understand what Damian Lillard's future is, because his contract runs all the way out to 2026-27, and in that moment he's got a player option at $63 million. I feel like that makes him more difficult to trade, more difficult to move, maybe less teams would be interested in carrying that type of number for that long, yet Portland doesn't seem to be done with him. How does this work out with Damian?
First off, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he picks up that option.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about that one. It may be a few years out, but I feel comfortable with that. I don't think they trade him right now. Look, ultimately, it comes down to him. He has to. They will. He is the talisman, the icon of that franchise. They are not moving him unless he asks to be moved. Especially considering this team is going to get sold within the next handful of years. The part of the will of the late Paul Allen was that some of the, not just the Trailblazers, but also some of these other assets be sold off, and then the money goes into these charitable causes. You want Lillard around, even at that price. Like, he's just, he brings in sponsors and he fills the building, and so you want him around. They're not going to move him unless he asks out. He is not asking out in the short term. So my guess is he might very well be there the whole time, even if they don't win. I'm not, maybe the last year of that you could talk about him trying to jump, but you were kind of getting to the point, which is, I don't know how much I want to pay him that much 3 years from now. Like, there's value in him next year. He's an All-NBA player this year. He will make my All-NBA, the brutal NBA All-NBA guard list, which is a discussion for another day. But he's been one of the four or five best guards in the league this year easily. And you can get value for him now, except he doesn't want to go anywhere and they don't want to trade him. So I think they, what I've been told is, look for them to try to make a big swing this summer. They've got Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, a bunch of picks, like good young players, a couple of picks, and pick your superstar du jour who asks out. You know, there's a million and five rumors about who that could be. They're going to take a swing. They're going to try to jump into that mix and see if they can get somebody to play with Damian and try to win. We'll see how that goes, but I think that that's more likely, and them trying to make plays around him and them keeping him is probably where this is headed.
It's funny, like, you know, we get to a point where now we get after Kevin Durant or whoever who leaves the team or forces a trade. But the one guy who I think could force it, or if he were to force a trade, everybody would be like, yeah, we get it. That's cool. Would be Damian Lillard. Like, if he actually went out and said, like, you know what, I want to go chase a ring, everybody would be like, yeah, you know what, go get it. You deserve it. Absolutely. Go, because he's been so loyal and such a good soldier for that team, and certainly deserves it. Any update, and what are your thoughts on Kevin Durant in Phoenix and what that situation is looking like?
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
There's not been much updates out of it. It sounds like they're going to try to bring him back with a handful of games left, maybe after the first of the year. After the first of April somewhere, when they have three, four games left, and try to get him a couple of games with the team before they head into the playoffs. But they keep... What I've heard is that, look, they're looking at the West like everybody else and going, we got a shot here. It's not like if this were the East and they were doing this and they're looking up at Milwaukee and Boston and thinking, man, I don't know if we can get past them on our best day, and now we don't have the chemistry and stuff, and do we bring him back? They're looking at this West and thinking, why not us? And so the plan is to bring him back with a couple of games left and take their swing. Think that they've got a chance with him and Booker and Chris Paul, even with the questions about the depth and the lack of time together. Guys, we've talked about sport. Like, who in the West scares you?
Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't one of them. I can tell you that. Karl-Anthony Towns coming back tonight against Atlanta. I went back and looked at their record before he went out in the latter parts of November. They were 10-11 with him on the court. They were struggling to find their stride. I know that they've gone through the trade deadline and brought in some talent since. But what happens with Karl-Anthony Towns coming back at this point in the season where they sit ninth and they need a couple wins to make sure that they're even in that play-in?
That's a good – see, that, I think that's really – you kind of hit the nail on the head. That was very good, Hans. They did the – they need – not only did they need wins, but, like, this team wasn't clicking. And then Towns is out. I mean, Towns is out. Edwards takes on a larger role. They bring in Mike Conley. Conley, at least, is a better facilitator, pure point guard than D'Angelo Russell is. Like, he fits in a little better. But throwing Towns back in and getting him touches now is just going to be, I don't know, it just feels disruptive to do this with, you know, 10 games to go in the season and think you can make a push. I think they might make the playoffs, but isn't it just hard to bring this all together again? Like, hey, by the way, here's a guy who's going to want touches almost every time down. Let's throw him back in the offense. It's going to get weird, especially with Edwards is out right now, but he'll be back in a couple games. He's been getting more touches. Doesn't it feel like a weird fit? Like they're still trying to figure out where the puzzle pieces go?
Seems like I know Carl Anthony Towns brings everything back, but it feels like this team is still going to be struggling to find themselves in that play-in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, and they very much could be in the bottom half of that play-in, and that's, you know, for Utah, where, like you guys said before, everybody came into the season thinking you'd be chasing Wembanyama. Like, hey, we got in the play-in. Like, that's something. But if you're, there's a huge difference even within the play-on. But if you're 7 or 8, and you only have to win one game to get into the playoffs, it's very different than being 9 or 10 and having to win two. One of them, at least one of them on the road. It's a much tougher haul. So that would be a huge, either one of those, but that one in particular would be a huge disappointment for Minnesota, considering, I mean, the offseason trade for Rudy Gobert, where I think they gave up everything, and to not have this kind of result is troubling.
If I took you back to September and said that the Minnesota Timberwolf pick would be the worst of the pick with the Jazz, I mean, that would be, I don't think anybody would have bought into that at all, but no, exactly. Here we are with that being a distinct possibility.
Man, that'd be weird.
That's funny. Well, the funny thing was, there was, the Lakers have now played well enough, and the Pelicans have fallen off the map, and suddenly you're like, I guess, I don't know, are they swapping picks after all? Like, if you said that 2 weeks into the season, be like, oh, the Pelicans are going to get a great pick out of this. And I was like, maybe not.
So, obviously, Walker Kessler's getting a ton of attention here, and he should. He's earned all the accolades and everything. But there is another rookie that's just very quietly put together a really good first season. He had a career high the other night. What are your thoughts on Ochai Agbaje and what the future may hold for him?
He was one of those guys coming in where there was a lot of, like, there were a couple scouts that I knew who were like, this guy's going to be good. This guy's going to be really good. And I was, you know, not as knowledgeable about him, but I think they've done a great job of bringing him along, right, and giving him not overwhelming him with opportunities, not just throwing him in the fire, but bringing him along at a pace where he's getting more and more. And yeah, he looks like a player, doesn't he? Like, he really does look like somebody who, I mean, has the pedigree. Just looks like a guy who can fit in and be part of whatever this is going to look like in 3 or 4 years. It's going to be, you know, different than now, obviously. But he looks like the kind of young player, along with Walker Kessler, where you're just like, yeah, whatever we're doing, they're part of it. Like, they'll fit in, and we can make this work. And that's huge, considering what's ahead. And, you know, we'll see what draft picks come in and what happens with Lauri Markkanen over time. But you ultimately have to have those players. You have to have those. You have to draft well if you're going to make this kind of thing work.
Kurt, would you ever be willing to throw a Coach of the Year vote Will Hardy's way?
Lower on the ballot. I think Mike Brown's probably got the, I think, going to get the top spot and deserves it. Like, I was optimistic about the Kings, and I did not have them as a 2 or 3 seed. But I think he deserves some credit there for what he's built and the culture. And you can see the foundation of what's coming. Sometimes in these cases, guys, I feel like Coach of the Year, except in like Mike Brown's case, but often for teams that are building, it runs a year or two behind. Like, all of a sudden you're like, hey, this guy's done a really good job. He's building something. And then the next year they kind of break through and he gets he gets recognized when the breakthrough happens rather than necessarily, and I don't want to call it a lifetime achievement award, but like a multi-year achievement award, as opposed to he had the one really good year. So he might get some votes this year, I think, to get some votes just because it's tough. It's outside of, I mean, like I said, I think Mike Brown wins it, but it's a really deep field this year. Coach of the Year is always, like, to me, like the hardest ones to pick just because I'm not in the locker room. And there's just a multitude of guys who have done good jobs this year.
Are we going to see Zion's been cleared for activity, but will miss at least two more weeks? New Orleans just can't seem to figure out how to get him on the court. What's the overall vibe on him across the league? Because obviously when he's healthy, you see how special a player he is, but you just can't trust him to be out on the court for any significant amount of time.
It's just that. I think that there is a sense of him being a special force, but it's just going to have to be managed his whole career. Like, he's just the load management, not winning a lot of regular season awards with him necessarily, because he's only going to play 60-ish games a year and accepting that going in and trying to find a way to get him right for the playoffs. They've come apart at the seams with injuries were part of it, but their defense, which was good early, came apart. Brandon Ingram struggled for a while, especially after he comes back, and then missed more time. And the team's, I know you've got them. I think you've got them, you said, coming up in the next few. They're a team that's really, I wouldn't say they're raising the white flag, but they've just not been the team that we saw early in the season. We're like, wow, they're going to be one of the great stories of the season. They've just come apart. And honestly, with Zion, I just think the vibe has been that. Everybody's looking at him now as, I don't know, late career Dwayne Wade or Kawhi Leonard right now, which is, yeah, he's amazing when you play him. You know you're not going to get that much out of him regular season-wise.
Kurt, how far did you have Fairleigh Dickinson going in the NCAA tournament? What type of run did you
see? I mean, Elite Eight, right? No. honestly, my bracket is surprisingly good. I have 7 of the 8.
No kidding.
I have seven of my Elite Eight still survive.
Jeez, that's really good.
So yeah, and all my final four. So I had Duke getting upset, a few other things. I'm not leading the pool I'm in now, but I'm the guy with the most potential points left, which is a good spot to be. And by the way, not because of my special knowledge, but because of random luck, frankly. I don't watch. People listening watch a lot more college basketball than I do, but you know how these pools. I used to be in a pool at the when I was my first job at the Daily News up in L.A. They used to do it against the spread. Everybody puts in a dollar. Like, everybody in the newsroom, you had to pick all the pro games, all the NFL games, plus like 15 college games against the spread every week. And we're in the sports department, and I've got time, and I'm looking this up, and I'm reading all this stuff. And like the photographer's kid, 5-year-old kid, one of them, like, I like Dolphins. I like Bills. You know, like, so it is.
Five-year-old kid wins it.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catching up again next week.
Thanks, Kurt.
Take care, man.
You got it. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.